What up, y'all? Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Grapevine with your boy Ray Nitty. We talking about this toxic town, man. We talking about the lies, the corruption that's going on, the inconsistencies of what's been going on, man. Toxic chemicals just being allowed to sit in our community. Sites no longer developable unless you have extensive remediation that makes sites unattractive for developers, makes communities unattractive for developers. So, once again, when it came to the low-income, affordable housing residents, 150 residents evacuated. DNR want to act like they was blindsided. They fired somebody because they knew and didn't say nothing. And then reporters, and they didn't want to report that people moved in and they didn't know. Liars. They knew. That's why they fired the guy. Complete bold-faced liars they are. I asked on the call, should we make the public more aware of what's going on? They said, no, that's not how these gases move. The same person that they said was, like, stop playing with me. All right? City officials themselves acknowledged that the pattern was a problem. This is what pissed me off. Alderman Perez sponsored a 2024 city ordinance specifically citing finger point. I'm going to tell you what's funny about that ordinance he sponsored. He did the ordinance after I called him and made him aware of what was going on. I was like, bro, do you know all of this is even happening on this website? DNR this, DNR that. Then all of a sudden, because he was running for common council president, let's be 100, Jose, you used it as an opportunity to elevate yourself. And you was trying to hurry up and throw us under the bus and point and not take responsibility as elected officials for allowing companies to contaminate our communities. It ain't no shot at you. I'm just telling the truth. You made that call after I called you and had a conversation with you because I was concerned about how toxic chemicals are not being paid attention to. Then I told him about Briggs and Stratton and Master Lock. Now all of a sudden they used it against us for his own personal political gain. Because guess what? He wanted to be Common Council president. I was running against Bob Bauman. All right? So let's tell the truth. Let's tell the truth. Tell the whole truth. I haven't heard anything about any of these political officials talking about TCE or toxic chemicals since the election. Since the Common Council president winning it. So miss me with all the performative BS hearings and all of these nonsense y'all be doing to prop y'all whack selves up. And then they see you out and shake your hand like everything cool. All right, I'll play a stupid game with y'all too. Just because I know how y'all feel about me, I'm going to let y'all know how I feel about y'all. But it's always been love on my side. I just ask y'all to put the people first. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. The same chemical shows up in a low-income black and brown neighborhood versus a luxury development near an affluent suburb does not respond the same. We gave everybody their rent back. Gave everybody stipends, paid for the hotels for everybody. they allowed Glendale residents to stay on site. Milwaukee residents, we had to evacuate. All right? Let's just talk about it. And we're going to get to how all of this connects, right? We're going to talk about how they are letting companies leave without real remediation plans. We let them come in and make all these billions of dollars. Then we're going to talk about the chemistry of behavior, how toxic exposure impacts crime and bad choices. Shouts out to the intern in here working, man. I still don't know. I said shouts out to the intern in here working, man. I see. I still don't know how to do that. We're going to talk about the chemistry of behavior and how toxic exposure impacts crime and bad choices. Okay? Then we're going to talk about how other communities have handled the exact same fight. Things that I've been asking for. Things that I've shared with elected officials and people downtown at City Hall. I've even shared it with my bro, David Crowley. We got Amir on the line. Amir, how you doing, man? We'd love to hear from you.
I'm doing good, brother. How you doing?
It's Emil, not Amir.
No, Emil. I know, right? They always get my name wrong, yeah. Man.
It's Emil. What's up, boss? How you
it's
feeling?
Like four-letter words. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. I've been listening. I got to tell you, this is very informative. I've learned a lot just listening to this, and I think it's a very, very important topic, and it's the hard, important stuff that no one wants to pay attention to that is unseen and goes unseen, right? So it goes unsolved, right? And, you know, I just appreciate the fact that you're speaking your truth, and I appreciate the knowledge that you're dropping, and I do remember this incident when it happened. And I was a little confused, and I think you're highlighting what a lot of people don't want to highlight, which is there's so many important things that need to be done out there that some of the people we have in power are just not working on because it's either not sexy enough or it doesn't have the right tone or right buzz. And I remember because at least you guys took responsibility and tried to make it right. Right. But there was this whole idea. And I felt like there were certain curators who were more important, you know, more interested in placing blame than saying, hey, wait a minute, how did this happen in the first place? Because I thought you guys were victims too, to a large extent, right? And also too, right? And you know, by stepping up and trying to do what's right and all of that stuff. Because I remember there was a whole lot of buzz around that. It was good. You guys were turning something that had been dilapidated into life and into a cultural edifice. And sometimes people wonder why people don't want to do things in this city. It's because of things like that. And the moment one thing goes wrong, everybody was so interested in pointing fingers after asking, hey, how did this happen in the first place? Mm-hmm. Right? And that collaboration didn't happen. And it's so crazy because you see this all around. And I also see, especially in the city of Milwaukee, when the developers look a certain way, you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. The standards are different, right? The support isn't there, right? They're less supportive. Even the leaders, and it's so crazy because Milwaukee is a minority majority city. Mm-hmm. And you know, I tell some of these folks sometimes, if Milwaukee were ran like a company, a lot of these people won't have jobs. because some of the stuff that they've done and they keep quiet on and they don't do and don't talk about and the politics and the jockeying, they don't give a damn. Everyone wants to shut down a gas station. I've said this, absolutely. I'll be the first person to tell you this. I think we have too many gas stations in Milwaukee. But here's the thing. When you shut it down, what else happens? I said, hey, no one's going to pay those funds to clean it up. It's a different solution when you go, hey, if we shut down your gas station, we're going to work with you to do the cleanup so we could put some actual housing there. But that's hard work. That's not set. It's just easy. But, oh, yeah, we shut down a gas station. Mm-hmm. What next? So then what? Yep. Now it's blight. right? And they rally us, right? They rally us to say, okay, hey, why shut the gas station down? But now it's blight. Because the next step is, okay, how do we clean that gas station and turn that space into something that is much more beneficial for the community? It's hard, man. That's not sexy. Nobody want to do that. And so I really appreciate you, man, speaking your truth and being bold about it, because we got to talk about these things. And I love the fact that you're not but for, and you say it the way you say it, and you're with the people and you're out there. So all love, man. And I'm really sorry you had to go through that. I'm really glad you're talking about it. And I'm learning a lot. So thanks. Keep putting out the knowledge. I appreciate everything you do.
Man, appreciate you, brother Emil. Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you. Shouts out to the chat, man. That's a lot of people in the chat. Jasmine. Who we got? Babar. Babar said money was exchanged behind closed doors. I don't know which closed doors you talking about or who exchanged it, but if you could explain that a little bit more. LaRon Taylor says, there is no toxic waste that justifies the actions that happened at State Fair. Why? Because it's happening all over the country, not just Milwaukee. Absolutely, LaRon Tay. I agree with you on that. But the comparison that I'm talking about, it's not just State Fair, okay? I want us to really, really look into the data and research on how toxic exposure impacts bad choices and crime. That's what I'm saying, LaRonte. Because they have a correlation. Whether we want to believe it or choose to understand it or not, it has an impact. It plays a part. And we're going to get into that right after these messages. Don't go anywhere, y'all. This is the award-winning 101.7, The Truth. Johnson, yeah, the powder fresher. It's not in line, no time to measure. I ain't trying to pressure, but it's my pleasure. White girl, come with dollar signs, Kesha. Mary Jane, Miley, hot lesbians. Bitch, nothing coke. Off a bitch. What up, y'all? What up, y'all? Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. This is The Grapevine with your boy Ray Nitty. Yeah, man, we reaching high today. We grabbing the real sweet ones. We grabbing the real nice grapes, man. Squeezing them today, too. Milwaukee, mark your calendars. Join us for Truth Family Fest on Saturday, August 22nd from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Riverside University High School. It's free and fun for the entire family, featuring great music, community resources, family activities, and back-to-school support to help students get ready for a successful school year. Interested in volunteering? Visit the Truth Family Fest website at truthfamilyfest.com to complete the volunteer form or by emailing sierra.brown@milwaukeeblackmedia.com. That is sierra.brown@milwaukeeblackmedia.com. Bring the whole family and experience one of Milwaukee's favorite community celebrations. Truth Family Fest, Saturday, August 22nd from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Special thanks to Educators Credit Union, American Family Insurance, Milwaukee Public Schools, Artists Working in Education, City of Milwaukee Department of Community Wellness and Safety, AB Core Core, Ascension, and Tap In MKE, y'all. How y'all doing, man? Tap In MKE will be following me after The Grapevine, y'all. But right now, we tapping into this toxic mess that's going on in the city. And these fake politicians that be having fake hearings and all of these other things, just performative as hell. Ah, but Barr said a check so they don't be responsible for their actions. My opinion, when Master Lock suddenly announced that they will be closing doors, wasn't due to production. It was due to knowing TC exposure would cause legal matters. They probably, of course, bro. Of course, Babar. They literally closed down after. Literally closed down after our article went up. Then after our article went up, or the second article went up, I reached out to Journal Sentinel, like, look across the street, fam. Look across the street. So, yeah, I believe that. I believe that. They saw, okay, let's close down while these blacks are getting hit for something that is on DNR's website that shows Master Lock contaminated this area. I told y'all on the website it says Master Lock's groundwater runs off into our sewer system and dumps off into Washington Park Quarry. I asked, should we let the outside community know? Should we be doing testing? They said, oh, no, that's not how the gases work. But it knows how to stay and move in pipes and offshoot building materials on our side of the street. Let's continue. Letting companies leave without real remediation. All right. Fact check confirmed via DNR public records requests, Erie Manufacturing / GPI interim case file, and EPA's Milwaukee die cast in site record. All right. A reoccurring legal mechanism shows up across these sites. Natural attenuation, where instead of actively removing contamination, a responsible party requests DNR accept that the contamination will simply break down naturally over time and the state grants case closure anyway. Think about that. The state. The state let these MFs just walk, fam. Leave. Big plight to Master Lock right now is for auction. It's for auction. They trying to get rid of the property so bad, they auctioning it off. Who gonna buy that toxic gumbo? Another black fool with a dream that the city ain't gonna hold no. I'm gonna get into it. First of all, I hope you know they're gonna sell that building and Master Lock is not gonna be responsible for cleaning up any of that contamination. We have zero protections or laws in place that holds people accountable for cleaning up the mess that they made in our communities. So it's hard for me to be, like, I understand people being upset about data centers. But for 40 years, Master Lock been poisoning Negroes. We ain't been mad. But got mad when black developers decided to do something about it. Then you got DNR lying and saying they didn't know. Y'all knew because y'all fired the man. Anyway, DNR accept that the contamination will simply break down naturally over time, and the state grants case closure anyway. 40 years, our site been sitting and it didn't break down. So how much hell time is needed? How much time is needed? Then Master Lock had Obama in that mug. Talking about beautification for 100 years. Lying bastards. Letting companies leave. In one documented Milwaukee case, the former Erie manufacturing site at 4000 South 13th Street, the responsible party's own consultant requested closure, specifically citing that residual groundwater contamination will naturally attenuate over time. With neighboring property owners formally notified, they still cannot install any groundwater wells on their own land without DNR consent indefinitely. We got nothing to protect us. Nothing to protect people and saying like, hey, all these companies that deal with these toxins, they should be paying into a fund annually. Annually. We should be talking about revenue share annually. That should be going into, in case you leave, we have something that's going to protect families. We have something that's going to clean up the mess. Babar said a data center will probably buy it. Well, good luck getting it approved, because we don't want that in the community. Good luck getting that approved. When a response, notice the words. Remember I said it earlier. The DNR can issue a known party. They didn't do that to Master Lock or Briggs & Stratton. They did it to the developers. When a responsible party can't be found or is deceased, they could have found these mugs, but they just looked our way. When a responsible party can't be found or is deceased, as with the Milwaukee die casting, there is no enforcement mechanism at all. The contamination simply sits monitored, if at all, at whose expense? Taxpayers' expense, behind a fence that trespassers regularly cross. Okay. Is this time for the break? Oh, not yet. This is a structural version of what happened at CWC. Companies get the benefit of operating for decades, making billions of dollars. You can look it up. You can look it up, how much money Master Lock made. They've been in the hood for 100 years, fam. They celebrated 100 years in 2008. Companies get the benefit of operating for decades, and when it's time to close up, the legal and financial tools available constantly favor a slow, cheap exit over a fast, thorough one. Y'all ain't hearing me. Wisconsin laws give companies a legitimate pathway to leave contamination in the ground and call it closed. As long as they can argue, it'll fade on its own. Like, don't worry about that. It'll go away. It'll go away. Just let it chill. That's not a loophole being abused. It's how the system is designed to work, and Milwaukee's North Side has absorbed the result of that design for generations, fam. Come on, fam. Come on, Common Council President. Come on, Jose. Create pathways. All the elected officials, not just the Common Council President, because each of them got contamination in their areas. My laptop's gonna die. This is good. This is good. We want to talk about the chemistry of behavior, toxic exposure, and how it impacts crime and bad choices. This Milwaukee-specific study. It's time for a break. Don't go anywhere, y'all. We'll be right back on the Grapevine with your boy Ray Nitti on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth.
This is the Bloomberg Black Business Beat. It's a challenging time to be a black leader in America. Recently, my colleagues at Bloomberg Businessweek brought together a group of prominent black executives to talk about how they're navigating the White House, rollbacks to DEI initiatives, and the current mood in America surrounding race. Chris Williams is chairman at Siebert Williams Shank & Company. He said tribalism and political division is playing into how diversity is being perceived.
There are mindsets that are pro and con DEI that are becoming more entrenched one side or the other, because aside from race, on every aspect of American life, the differences, the gulf between one viewpoint and another viewpoint is more entrenched and clear.
Williams says the U.S. is philosophically divided on a number of issues. I'm Bloomberg's Justin Milliner on the Black Business Beat.
Roll another one.
Sit up, never like you know it's put you pack it with the motor matics. We gon' set up to have it. Wait, wait, wait.
What up, y'all? What up? What up? What up? What up? What up? What up? Welcome back. Welcome back. It's your boy Ray Nitty on the Nape Vine. The grapevine. I said the Nape Vine. Chopped. What up, y'all? Holding it down on the grapevine on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. We talking about this toxic town, man. They ain't gonna like this one. If the Alders didn't support me on my first run, they damn sure ain't gonna support me now. Milwaukee specific study. Researchers at UWM Milwaukee's Zibler School of Public Health tracked 89,129 people born in Milwaukee between 1986 and 2003 who had a valid childhood blood lead test before age 6, then linked that data to the Milwaukee Homicide Review Commission's firearm violence record in adulthood. The findings. This is where we going with it, Babar. The findings, right? Not saying it's a super direct correlation, but it has a place. As childhood blood levels rose, the risk of becoming a perpetrator or a victim of firearm violence rose with it. A clear dose-response relationship. Even after controlling for race, sex, and neighborhood socioeconomic status, the numbers that are at stake compared to people with blood lead under 5 UG/DL, those with lead levels of 20+UG/DL as children were 2.8 times more likely to become firearm violence perpetrators and 3.3 times more likely to become victims. So exposure does play a role. We want to act like it don't, but it does play a role. Overall, the study attributes 56% of firearm violence perpetration and 51% of victimization is in this Milwaukee cohort to blood lead levels at or above 5 UG/DL. The current CDC reference level for elevated lead. 56. Lead author Lindsay Emmer's own framing. Childhood lead exposure impairs decision-making and increases impulsivity. Mechanisms directly known to be criminogenic, not just correlated by coincidence. I want y'all to think about that. We're just talking about lead now, fam. That was lead. Okay? Lead. Lead. That's what we're talking about. We ain't talking about TCE. We ain't talking about petroleum. We ain't talking about all these other gases and vapors. We're not even talking about that. But what happens when you mix all of these chemicals, right? If you mix lead, if you mix TCE, if you mix petroleum, what do you think it does? What do you think it does? TCE and other solvents, the same mechanism, just a different chemical, right? Separate from lead, peer-reviewed research on TCE specifically documented developmental neurotoxicity, disrupted neurotransmitter function, oxidative stress, and neuroinflammation in the developing brain, with observed behavioral outcomes, including hyperactivity, lower IQ scores, and locomotor/attention deficits, fam. We talk about the reading levels. We talk about the education levels. We talk about people not being able to pay attention. Young people not being able to pay attention in school. Young people making all these terrible decisions. Adults making all of these terrible decisions. bad choices. I'm not giving no excuses here. I'm just kind of giving the diagnosis. I ain't no doctor, though. It's just a thought. But these are the facts I'm sharing. I forgot to tell y'all where my fact check was from. The lead violence findings below are from a peer-reviewed, published UW-Milwaukee study. This is not a theory. It's measured Milwaukee data. Okay? Measured Milwaukee data. I want us to think about this now, y'all. I'm going to read it one more time. Because somebody asks, how does this have an impact on what's going on at these festivals and kids acting up? I'm going to give you one more. I'm going to read it again. A related chlorinated solvent. No. I'm skipping something. My bad. Separate from lead, peer-reviewed research on TCE specifically documents developmental neurotoxicity. Disrupted neurotransmitter function, oxidative stress, and neuron inflammation in the developing brain with observed behavioral outcomes including hyperactivity, lower IQ scores, and locomotor/attention deficits. Okay? Exposure. That's what the exposure to these toxins and these chemicals that just go untreated and that our local leaders allow companies to just poison us and walk away. It's the walking dead around this mall. Zombies. I remember I had to, it's ironic that we're watching this, right? Because when I was sharing my story and frustration with a group of young people, teens actually, that was at UWM. They were doing an interview with Power Forward Media in the building about, I can't remember exactly what they was doing. And I just happened to be sharing the story. And he was like, you know what? We want to put our students on this for research. So we was working on a documentary to get all of this together. But then I found out how wide and deep this rabbit hole was. So you got to do extensive research to even deliver this in a way that it'll be palatable and understandable for our community. All right? A related chlorinated solvent, PCE, also found at several Milwaukee sites, including the Erie manufacturing site, was studied directly in children living near contamination sites. Even low level community exposure was linked to measurably lower working memory, processing speed, and executive function. The same cognitive systems tied to impulse control. This is not an excuse for anyone's choices, y'all. Let me be clear. It does not erase personal accountability. Let me be clear. But a community that has been sitting on 900 plus TCE sites and generations of lead paint housing has been dealing with a measurable published neurological headwind that other neighborhoods simply haven't had to carry. And that's the data point. That ain't no narrative. Lena was, she was losing her mind. She was going crazy trying to tell us about this stuff. And people called her crazy. We let Chris Larson call her crazy. Nobody checked Chris Larson. Let's talk about that. We let that man call that black woman on the Senate floor. Might I add, she hasn't taken her crazy meds today. We let that, but we care about mental health. Okay. Y'all don't want me, y'all should have gave somebody else these 2 hours. Y'all should have gave, okay. Remember that. Remember, and it was folks in there that saw it and heard it too that didn't hold Chris Larson accountable. Okay. Anyway, how other communities have handled the same fight? What word is this? Marinette. Peshtigo. After Tyco/3M firefighting foam contaminated local water for years, the community won, guess what, a $10 million settlement with Tyco specifically. While a broader 2022 lawsuit against Tyco, ChemGuard, 3M, and DuPont for wrongfully, knowingly, and deceptively contaminating natural resources with PFAS across Wisconsin is still ongoing. So why, when it comes to Milwaukee, we can't get on? Emil, call back. What we got to do to get a class action lawsuit for the citizens of Milwaukee? Because clearly our leaders ain't going to do it. And I know some people like, man, what about Chevy? This is what I will say about Chevy in this situation. Chevy was one of the only elected officials during that time that did not use his platform to throw black developers under the bus. He was one of the only elected officials that actually said, you know what? We're going to figure this out. What you all were attempting to do was important for the city. And we need to figure this out. $10 million, y'all, settlement. Let's go to Wausau, Marathon County. Joined the national class. Joined the national. We could team up with somebody else. We ain't even doing that. Class action lawsuit against 15 chemical manufacturers and 61 insurers in December 2023 and has already received about $2.9 million in a first phase payout from the national 3M settlement. They already got a national settlement with more expected from DuPont. Let's go to Eau Claire. Eau Claire County took an even more aggressive independent path, filing its own lawsuit. That's what I want us to do. Let's hit them back. Filing its own lawsuit this year against 3M, Chemours, DuPont, 18 other defendants over airport PFAS contamination, specifically because the county was not part of the broader settlement group and didn't want to wait. A group called SOH2O has publicly criticized the whole settlement structure, arguing that funneling settlement money into one statewide trust fund forces, thank you, contaminated communities to compete against one another for limited resources, despite all communities being equally deserving of clean, safe drinking water. I need to get SOH2O on the show. Wisconsin communities, they organized, filed in a several case, have already started collecting real settlement money years before Milwaukee took equivalent action. Don't go anywhere, y'all. When we come back, we're going to be wrapping this thing up, y'all, on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. What up, y'all? Welcome back to the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. This is your boy Ray Nitty on the grapevine. DJ Brother Z holding us down on the production and sound, and I got what it takes to rock the mic right. We talking about this toxic town. We just went through how toxic chemicals and exposure impacts crime and bad choices. We just went through it. And I'll share something again just so, you know, for those that are just joining us. Separate from lead, peer-reviewed research on TCE specifically documented developmental neurotoxicity, disrupted neurotransmitter function, oxidative stress, and neuroinflammation in the developing brain, with observed behavioral outcomes including hyperactivity, lower IQ scores, and locomotor slash attention deficits. Okay? A related chlorinated solvent, PCE, also found at several Milwaukee sites, including the Erie manufacturing site, was studied directly in children living near contamination sites. Even low-level community exposure was linked to measurably lower working memory, processing speed, and executive function. The same cognitive system tied to impulse control. All right? That's the connection. But we're going to get deeper into that, too, on another show, on another day. But what I want to get into before we get out of here is the PFAS lawsuit Milwaukee wasn't a part of, right? The national PFAS settlement over $12.5 billion combined from 3M and DuPont, one of the largest environmental settlements in American history, covering thousands of public water utilities and municipalities, was negotiated and largely finalized in 2023. Milwaukee County was not an active party pursuing its own claim in that window. It was only in December 2025 that Milwaukee County leadership began the process to seek authorization to sue PFAS producers and oil companies directly, roughly 2 years after Marinette, Wausau, and other Wisconsin communities were already deep into their own settlement and litigation process. Get the hell out of office. Y'all not down there doing nothing. The county stated model is the same one that won Milwaukee's county $71 million in the opioid litigation. The largest single government settlement in Wisconsin history, meaning there is a proven local playbook for exactly this kind of fight. It just wasn't applied when it come down to poisoning Negroes. Let them go crazy so we can up the budgets for everything around here. It ain't no money in the cure, man. The money in the treatment. If we get rid of all these sites and these Negroes start acting right, how are we going to get more money for behavioral studies? You know they love to study black folk. Anyway. As I get ready, the primary confirmed PFAS source specifically for Milwaukee County is firefighting foam used at Milwaukee Mitchell International Airport through 2012. Groundwater sampling near the airport has already turned up high PFAS levels. Milwaukee did receive some general drinking water infrastructure help. Wisconsin communities broadly got $282 million in state drinking water project funding in November 2025, but that's separate from general infrastructure money, not compensation tied to being made whole for PFAS contamination specifically. So as I get ready to close, y'all, I want us to put this whole thing into perspective, right? Milwaukee has over 900 known TCE sites and documented pattern of treating contamination differently based on zip code and income. Companies that get to leave contamination behind with minimal enforcement. A published local study tying childhood lead exposure directly to gun violence. I ain't making this up. And until literally 2 months ago, no active seat at the table for PFAS compensation that other smaller Wisconsin communities have already been paid for. They already got the bread, fam. I'm asking y'all to do this. Go to the DNR website. This is my call to action to y'all. Go to the DNR website. Search your own block tonight. We do this show so that information like this don't stay buried in a database that don't nobody ever knew about. I'd have never known about this if we didn't go through what we went through. I'd have never known about it. I'd have never known about it, y'all. I watch our politicians use it as a tool to prop themselves up, win elected seats, whatever, common council presidency seats. And they shake our hands in public. All right? But I'm telling y'all, go do the research. Go do the research on how we treat these toxic waste fields in our community. Go do the research. How we let corporations walk away with no ramifications. We don't got no fund holding them accountable, nothing that they need to pay into annually that will help with remediation in case they leave. These were some of the things that I was asking for when I ran for office that provoked me to run for office, because the attorney that was representing us and telling us to be quiet was on the advisory committee for the DNR. I'm telling y'all, they should have never gave me a mic. It's your boy Ray Nitty, and I'm just going to keep bringing y'all the stories that they trying to hide from us, y'all. And they not going to like it, but I don't give a damn. Brother Z, y'all have a good day. Don't go nowhere. Jazzy is up next with the Tap In, all right? On the award-winning 101.7 The Truth, it's your boy Ray Nitty holding it down on the Grapevine. See y'all tomorrow. I'm bringing some more smoke. Cheap ball.